Let us pray. Dear loving and gracious Lord God, your word calls us to faith and love. Put your law within us, write it in our hearts, that we may willingly follow your will. Accept all we offer you this day, our hearts, our minds, and our bodies. Fill our hearts with the light of your presence, for we are restless until we find our home in you. May our lips praise you, our lives proclaim your goodness, our work give you honor, and our voices celebrate you forever. Amen. Change is never easy. We have had to learn to live with changes that have accompanied the pandemic. And there will be many changes that will confront us as we move forward into a post-pandemic world. Sometimes change is subtle, like the first time you notice a gray hair or look in the mirror and cannot believe that the face looking back at you is 82. Sometimes change is instantaneous, such as the phone call that changes your life forever. The diagnosis is terminal, or a drunk driver has killed one of your family or friends. We go away on holidays, and when we come back, the pulpit's gone. The pews are moved, or there's a new look to the bulletin. Change is never easy. We are creatures of habit. We like things to stay the same. We get used to things just the way they are. And there's such a feeling of accomplishment when we have finally mastered something, when we finally get it right and we know what we're doing, and then things start to change. We can so easily get stuck in ruts. Some are little and others are huge. Notice the definition of madness, doing the same thing over again and expecting different results. Eventually, things can become routine and they lack challenge. And we need to have challenges in our lives. Challenges wake us up. They get our blood flowing. They limber up those tired bones and we remember, yes, we are still alive and still capable of greatness. Yes, we can live an ordinary life in an extraordinary way. Our text from Jeremiah speaks to a change, a different sort of change than gray hair or the 20 pounds that just won't budge. God, through Jeremiah, is moving his people away from the law. It's about external behavior. And God's asking us to move to an internal understanding of who God is and how we can learn to be with him always. I will put my law within them, and on their hearts will I write it, and I will be my God, and they will be my people. This was a fundamental shift for our ancestors, and it remains 3,000 years later a fundamental shift for us as well. For the Israelites, doing the external was the right way. If they did not do those things, they could be shunned or forced to leave community. In extreme cases, treated as if they had died. But God, through his prophet Jeremiah, declares, "The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. It will not be like the old covenant that I made with their ancestors when I took them out of the land of Egypt, a covenant they broke, though I was their husband." God pledges his power and love and presence to Israel. And in turn, God's desire is loyalty and obedience. This was not simply a contract which can exist without a relationship, but a contract that is relational. In fact, the relationship is compared to a spouse, a husband. The people have not lived up to their conditions of the covenant, even though we hear again that God rescued them from slavery, chose them to be his people, and God has been a faithful spouse. God, through Jeremiah, is moving his people away from a set of laws and teaching that had to do with the outside. You were required to make a sacrifice, but now the turtle dove or the lamb you brought had to be unblemished, not just any old pigeon for God. The blood of the animal had to be shed repeatedly so that sins could be forgiven. No blood, no forgiveness. Only the priest could enter the holy place, and only the high priest once a year could enter the Holy of Holies. God was at a distance, a deity to be feared and kept at arm's length. There were 613 dietary laws. You had to wear the proper clothes. Your head had to be covered. Wearing white gloves, crossing and genuflecting at the appropriate time. Jesus, in one of his many confrontations with the religious leaders, when asked why his disciples did not wash their hands in a certain way, said, "It is not what goes into your mouth that defiles you. You are defiled by the words that come out of your mouth." Matthew 15:11. And God says the same thing. He says, I'm going to put my law within them, and their hearts will I write it, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. I wrote my love for you on tablets of stone, but now I want to write my love for you on your hearts. God is pushing the envelope. The sacrifice acceptable to God is a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. Such, O God, you will not despise. Who among us wants to admit that we have a broken spirit or a contrite heart, that we are a mess, that our prayers never seem to get answered? But that's where God wants us, so that we will turn to God for help. God, through his prophets, keeps repeating the same message. You can know me because I am who I say I am. I am the Lord of Israel, who delivered you from the bonds of slavery, who redeemed you, and who loves you. And the relationship I desire with all my people is one of grace, mercy, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and trust. God was not throwing out the old covenant, for Jesus had not yet been born. On the contrary, the codifying of the law developed during the wilderness journey when the nomadic Israelites needed a sense of order, an understanding of communal justice and community boundaries. But God, in his mercy, would not let them be satisfied with that. There needed to be a new dimension in the relationship. They needed to grow. They needed an attitude adjustment to keep pace with the ongoing plan of salvation. If our way of doing things is set in concrete, then God may have to overthrow them so that his power and purpose will reign. God's power and purpose, his working out of our salvation, has always been about breaking down our self-imposed structures so that we can be transformed. Old wineskins, the form and structure have become dry and cracked and cannot handle the new thing that God wants to introduce. God's purpose and goal for all his people is to transform us into the image and likeness of Christ. The church, the body of Christ, is designed to undergo constant renewal and revival. And scripture is full of God's attempts to move his people, to transform them, to change our hearts, so that all shall know me from the least of them to the greatest. We are called to be radical, to be different. We are chosen to be in partnership with the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. God came to us in Jesus so that we could see what and who God is. Jesus is God with skin on. God in Christ gave us the greatest gift, the cross, a true model of what it means to love and to be loved. Not the sappy love of the soap operas, but the dynamic, active, majestic, awesome love that only God can provide. And this is what God wants to write on our hearts. Jesus did not come to make bad people good. He came to make dead people come alive. And all the rest will wither like the grass, Isaiah says. The flower fades, but the word of the Lord will stand forever. The majesty and mystery of God are not optional extras, but the very proof of our life in Christ. Jesus is the new covenant. And in Luke 22:20, in the last meal with his disciples before Calvary, he says, "This cup is the new covenant written in my blood that is poured out for you. And this time it is permanent. No longer shall they teach one another or say to one another, know the Lord, for they shall all know me, and I will forgive their iniquities and remember their sin no longer. No longer will the details of the covenant be written on tablets of stone, hidden away and forgotten forever. Now there is a permanent record of all that the Lord has seen and done. This is bound in the human heart. So are we going to let God write his law of love in our hearts so that we can be transformed from the inside out? Will we listen to the words spoken and that will lead us into an encounter of God himself, just not an experience of church? When people look at us, what do they see? Will they see the love of Christ in the way we speak, the way we live, the way we love, the way we behave? The entrance of the living word into every aspect of our Christian life produces hearts full of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. The presence of God's nature, the fruit of the Spirit, life itself in Christ. God is endlessly enthusiastic about us. God has boundless, unremitting energy and never stops working at renewal in his church. This fifth Sunday in Lent, let us reflect and meditate on these truths. Let our hearts be filled with the hope and inner confidence that only a life rooted in Christ can bring joy. God has a dream for his church, and Jesus birthed that dream in the hearts of his people. What is that dream? That God has a dwelling place among us, that we are living stones filled and formed together in relationship and ministry so that the Holy Spirit can enter our lives, renewing, refreshing, and reviving our souls. Let us pray. Blessed are you, God of compassion and mercy. To you be praise and glory forever. In the darkness of our sin, your light breaks forth like the dawn, and your healing springs up for deliverance. As we rejoice in the gift of your saving help, sustain us with your bountiful spirit and open our lips to sing your praise. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.